Welcome to Missionary Echoes, an outreach ministry of the Lebanon God's Missionary Church. I'm Pastor Joel, and it's so good to have you join us today.
Dare to run with our eyes fixed on Jesus, following the footsteps of the one who's gone before us. Dare to run in the power of His Spirit, called to be victors in a race already won. Dare to run. We must have our Savior's vision, compassion for the lost, courage for the future, love at any cost. Jesus, following the footsteps of the one who's gone before us. Dare to run in the power of His Spirit, called to be victors in a race already won. Dare to run.
This morning we return to the book of 1 Thessalonians as Pastor Curtis Goin begins the fifth sermon of this series on the marks of a real Christian. Today we'll focus on the power of the Word of God in the life of a believer. Here's Pastor Goin.
I'm inviting your attention to the book of 1 Thessalonians. We're working our way through this book, and we have come to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. We're looking this morning at verses 13 and 14. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 13 and 14. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. For ye, brethren, became followers of the churches of God, which in Judea are in Christ Jesus. For ye also have suffered like things of your own countrymen, even as they have of the Jews. We'll end our reading there. Aren't you thankful this morning for the powerful Word of God? I heard a story a few years ago about a Christian, a missionary, who was passing out Bibles in the African nation of Zimbabwe. And he offered a Bible to one rather belligerent man who told him, "I'd rather not have a Bible." But the Christian pushed back a little bit, and he reached the Bible out to the man. He said, "Here, I want you to take this. It's free." And the man looked at the missionary. He said, "Now, if I take this Bible, I'm going to rip out every page, and I'm going to use it to roll my cigarettes, and I'll smoke every last page of this book." Well, the missionary looked at him. He said, "Okay." He said, "I can't stop you from doing that, but let's make a deal." He said, "If I give you this Bible so that you can use the pages to roll your cigarettes, will you promise me you'll read the words on every page before you roll it up?" And the man said, "Okay, you've got a deal." And he took the Bible. Well, several years passed. I think the missionary probably forgot all about it. But several years later, this missionary was at a Bible conference in Zimbabwe, and he ran into the man who had received the Bible, and that man immediately recognized the missionary, walked up to him. Now he's a Christian, and he just had to tell the missionary his story. He said, "After you gave me that Bible, I smoked through every page of Matthew and every page of Mark and every page of Luke." And he said, "I started smoking through John, but I got to John chapter 3. And verse number 16 captured my attention, and I read how much God loved me and how far Jesus went to save me." And he said, "I just couldn't bring myself to smoke through any more pages of the Bible." And he said, "Finally, the day came. I fell on my knees, and I threw myself on God's mercy, and now I'm a Christian." Folks, there's power in the Word of God. And one of the things that marked the Thessalonian believers is that when God sent faithful servants to preach His Word to them, they listened to God's Word, And more than just giving it a surface hearing, they accepted his word and they let it work powerfully in their lives. What we're going to see this morning as we look at this example of the Thessalonians is that we need to let God's word into our minds. We need to let his word into our hearts. And then we need to let God's word get into our feet. Now, I want you to notice in your Bibles, verse number 13, the word received appears two times in the King James. For this cause, thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God, which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God. Now, you can't see this in the English, but in the Greek, the first time that the word received appears is a different word than the second time that the word received appears, meaning the Thessalonians received the word of God in two different ways. The first appearance of this word received carries the idea that the Thessalonians listened when the word was preached. They gave Paul's message a fair hearing. They listened and they considered the claims of the gospel in their minds. And the second use of that word receives tells us not only did they give the word a fair hearing, but they fully accepted it. They embraced the word as truly being from God himself. And I want us to consider both of these kind of receiving. The first time we see that word received, Paul says, when he came preaching the gospel, the Thessalonians gave the word a fair hearing. They let the word into their minds and they gave it consideration. And Paul is thankful for this. You remember he was only with them for a short time in the city of Thessalonica. But in that brief period, they had listened with open hearts and open minds. They gave the word an opportunity to speak to them. Now, I believe that I'm speaking to people this morning primarily who believe that the Bible is God's word. If you believe the Bible is truly God's word, would you say amen? Let me know that you're awake. And you're open to the idea of letting God's word into your mind. If you're open to that idea, would you say amen?
Amen.
But I would remind us this morning that if you want to be a man or a woman of the book, if your thinking and your life are truly going to be shaped by, guided by the scriptures, then you're going to have to spend some time with this book and let it get in you. And let it work through you. You say, well, I come to church just about every week and I listen to preaching and I read a chapter of the Bible every day or maybe a few days out of the week, and that's good. But I ask you this morning, are you listening and reading with a desire to hear God speak to you through his word? Do you expect as you read, do you expect that God would speak to you? Do you expect that he would speak to specific issues in your life? You know, there are people who say, I want to hear from God. And I want God to speak to me. I want him to give me direction. I want him to speak comfort into my life. I want some answers about life. And by that, they mean that they want some supernatural means of God talking to them. You know, some voice kind of thundering out of heaven. Some special experience where God communicates to them. But the fact is, God has already spoken to us through his written word. He's given us a book made up of 66 books, a book with words that are breathed out by God himself. And I want to say to us this morning, if you want God to speak to you, then read your Bible. And somebody said, if you want God to speak to you out loud, then read your Bible out loud. Now, I believe the Holy Spirit will guide us in truth, and he has many ways of getting our attention and prompting us and checking us and guiding us. But the primary way that God speaks to his people is through the written word of God. And Paul commended the Thessalonians that when he came into their city preaching the word, that they gave him a fair hearing.
They gave the word an opportunity to be planted in their hearts and their minds. And if you want to hear from God, you'll need to spend some time with his word. But how many of you know the enemy doesn't want you to spend time in the word? And he will find ways, and he's very creative, and he has a lot of experience in distracting your mind when the word is being preached. Anybody distracted this morning? My preaching has been the back soundtrack to many a good nap over the years. He wants to distract you, wants to put you to sleep. And he convinces you, you don't have time to read the Bible. You don't have time to devote to studying the Word of God. He does all of this to keep you from hearing, being impacted by the Word. But the fact is, we typically do whatever it's our priority to do. If you want to shop, you'll find a way. If you like to thrift shop, you'll find a way to get to Jubilee, right? If you want to hunt, you'll find a way to get into the woods and squirrel your way up a tree with a gun. And I would contend if you want to spend time in God's Word, you'll find time to spend in God's Word. I was reading this past week, R. Kent Hughes told about Lieutenant General William K. Harrison. Harrison was one of the most decorated soldiers in the 30th Infantry Division, an infantry division that General Eisenhower said was number one in World War II. Harrison was the first American to enter Belgium. He did at the head of the Allied forces. He received every decoration for valor except the Congressional Medal of Honor. He got the Distinguished Silver Cross, the Silver Star, the Bronze Star for valor, the Purple Heart. He was one of the few generals to be wounded in action. When the Korean War began, he was the chief of staff of the United Nations Command because of his character and his self-control. Ultimately, he was Eisenhower's choice to lead the negotiations to end the Korean War. This guy was no slacker. He was not lazy. He was busy. He was a soldier's soldier. But he was also a committed Christian. And the interesting thing about him is that he was deeply committed to reading and knowing and living out the Bible. When he was a 20-year-old cadet at West Point, he began reading the Old Testament through once a year and the New Testament four times a year. And he committed himself to do this every year. And General Harrison maintained that habit until the end of his life, even in the thick of war. He kept his Bible, and if he got behind, he would literally catch up reading his Bible between battles so that when the war came to an end, he was right on schedule with his Bible reading, still reading the Old Testament once a year, the New Testament four times a year. By the age of 90, his eyesight had failed to the point that he could no longer read. And by that point in his life, he had read the Old Testament 70 times and the New Testament 280 times. And he had a reputation among all who knew him as a wise, godly man. And Hughes said this about General Harrison. He said, General Harrison's story tells us two things. First, it is possible, even for the busiest among us, to systematically feed on God's Word. You'll do what you want to do. And secondly, his life remains a prime example of a mind that was programmed with God's Word. Harrison's closest associates said in every part of his life, if you followed him in his home, if you looked at his walk with God, if you looked at him in his professional life, in the military, each of the problems he faced in life was informed by the wisdom of Scripture. People marveled at his wisdom, but he had wisdom and knowledge because he had saturated his heart and saturated his mind in the Word of God. Now, these Thessalonians didn't have a complete printed Bible like we have today, but we're so blessed. We have multiple Bibles, most of us, in our home. And we have mountains of Bible study resources just at our fingertips. And I want to challenge you this morning. Let's let God's Word into our minds. Maybe you've never really gotten serious about reading your Bible, studying the Word. I want to encourage you, start somewhere. Very simply, very practically, the way to start is decide when you're going to read. Is it going to be in the morning? Is it going to be at lunch, over your lunch break? Will it be at evening before you go to bed? Decide when you're going to do it, what time is best for you, and then do it. Just make it a priority. Make it happen. Decide when, and then decide where you're going to do it at best. Find the place where you can be undistracted, at least for a few minutes, and go there at the time that you've decided and just get started. I said this about prayer a couple Wednesday nights ago, but it's also true of Bible reading. If you've not been serious about being disciplined in reading God's Word, feeding on Scripture, then the enemy may come alongside you and overwhelm you and make you think, well, you've got to be a Bible scholar by tomorrow or you're failing. And so because you know you can't spend an hour reading your Bible, he'll convince you, well, it's not worth it to read your Bible at all. But I want you to know that 5 or 10 minutes of Bible reading is better than no Bible reading. And I predict if you make it a habit to read your Bible just 5 minutes, 10 minutes a day, and you ask God to help you, it won't be long till you'll start to gain an appetite for the Word of God, and you'll begin to grow those muscles, and you'll want more knowledge of Scripture and more knowledge of the Word. I have to admit, there was a time that I didn't care much for broccoli or spinach or other greens, but my wife mercilessly kept cooking those things anyway, and I ate them. And eventually I got to the place where now most days I eat a, you can't tell it by looking at me, but I eat a spinach salad for lunch almost every day. And if I go too long with getting enough greens in my diet, I miss them and I feel like I need them. And so it is in spending time with God's Word. Let it into your mind through the eye gate, through the ear gate, and you'll develop an appetite for it until you'll find if you're not able to spend as much time in a season in life, you'll hunger for the Word. There are times I just sense I've got to get into God's presence in prayer. I've got to give God an opportunity to speak to me. And so often I've said, Lord, I need something from you today. And there's something about it in the regular rhythm and routine of Scripture reading that God comes near and the words just sort of leap off the page and the Spirit applies it to my heart. And what a privilege it is to walk with God and have fellowship with Him in His Word. Let the Word of God get into your mind. And then let God's Word get into your heart. I was thinking about that parable that Jesus told, you know, of the farmer who went out to sow the seed. The farmer is a preacher, a proclaimer of truth, and the seed is the gospel. It represents biblical truth. And Jesus said this farmer went out to sow his seed, and some of the seeds didn't fall on fertile soil where they could take root and grow. Some fell on the wayside, and the birds came and ate those seeds before they could develop a root system. And Jesus said some fell on stony ground, ground that was too hard for the seed to penetrate. And so when the sun got hot, what little growth there was got scorched, and it withered away. Jesus said some of the seed fell on thorny soil, and the weeds grew up around those seeds and choked out the life of those seeds. But some of the seed fell on fertile soil. And the disciples asked Jesus, what does this parable mean? And he said, the seeds that fell along the road are the people who hear the truth. They hear the message of the kingdom, but they don't understand it. And so the enemy comes along and he snatches it away. And the seed that fell on rocky soil may be people who hear the message and initially they receive it, but they don't have deep roots. And so they don't last long. And the seeds that fell on thorny bushes are those that receive the message, but then they're so distracted by the things of life and the cares of life that the life-giving message of the Word is choked out. And they're fooled by the desire for worldly, earthly things. But the seeds that fall on good ground are people who hear the Word, and they understand the Word, and they let the word get into their hearts and work in their lives. And as a result of that, the seed of the word produces as much as 100 or 60 or 30 times what was planted. And the people of Thessalonica were these kind of people. They were people that were receptive to the word. There was an outward reception. They let it into their minds. They gave it a fair hearing. But then beyond that, they received the word. They accepted the word inwardly. It came into their minds and they let it travel down to their hearts. They took the word to be the authoritative word of God. And as a result, at the end of verse 13, we see that they allowed the word to effectually work in their hearts. They allowed the word to do its work. Are you letting the word work in your life?
You've been listening to a message preached by Reverend Curtis Going, the senior pastor at the Lebanon God's Missionary Church. If you have any questions or comments about this broadcast, please call us at 717-273-3690 or send us an email at lebgmc@gmail.com. Missionary Echoes is an outreach of the God's Missionary Church located at 2127 Hill Street in Lebanon, Pennsylvania. If you don't have a church family, we'd love for you to join us. We meet every Sunday morning at 9:30 for Sunday school, 10:30 for a morning worship service, and 6 o'clock in the evening for worship. On Wednesday nights, we gather for a prayer and praise service at 7 o'clock p.m. Now, on March 18th through the 23rd, we look forward to having Reverend Darrell and Regina Stettler share in preaching and singing for a series of revival meetings. Tuesday through Saturday, the services will begin at 7 o'clock p.m., and then on Sunday, we'll be back to our normal schedule at 10:30 a.m. for worship and 6 o'clock p.m. as well. We hope to see you in person, but if that's not possible, you can always watch our services live online at lebanongmc.com. There you'll also find information on upcoming events and can even share prayer requests with us. That web address, again, is lebanongmc.com. Here's the Heritage Trio from Penview Bible Institute with the song, My Help.
I will lift up mine eyes to the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, the Lord which made heaven and earth. He said he would not suffer thy foot to be moved. That keepeth thee, he will not slumber nor sleep.
Upon thy right hand, upon thy
I trust that that's a reality in your heart this morning. My friend, we look forward to having you with us next week for another edition of Missionary Echoes. I'm Pastor Joel, wishing you our Lord's blessing.